Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
There's this pull amongst female leaders, really trying to balance the gifts and steward the talents we have, the visions that God has given us, and also be home. To be home with our families. I work with young leaders who are in their early 20s and they're like, I really want to do this well. I don't want to screw up my kids and have them in therapy. And I'm like, well, therapy's good. But you won't screw them up if you stay present and you live within your limits and your design. And you don't chase after the constant voices around us that you've got to be all, do all, and you need to do it all now. So the idea of having a coach that comes alongside you who helps you understand your design, your story, what is healthy and versus what is toxic, spirituality and relationships. That's what we do here at Living Wholehearted. We want to help you from the inside out. We don't want to pluck weeds. We don't want to be a voice in your life that makes you do more and we get off our calls and then you're like, man, I'm way behind. We want you to feel grace, but also have that accountability and that confidential space to be able to process who you are, the relationships in your life. We have three different ways that you can do this as a female leader. You can jump in with our group coaching calls once a month. It's low bar for you to come in, come out, and we usually cover some sort of specific topic that's unique to female leaders. We also have individual coaching. So you can come along, one of our coaches comes alongside you and we do a very intentional process with you. But we're just that safe person that's going to help you to continue to grow and to lean into, again, more balance and more life, work, joy in your life. The last is our cohort. It's my favorite. And this is a very intentional combination of individual coaching, group coaching, and retreats at our Living Wholehearted Legend Retreat out in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. We'd love to have you learn more at livingwholehearted.com.
Well, welcome back to the Living Wholehearted Podcast with Jeff and Tara. That's us. And today we're going to be talking about blind spots. You know, as leaders, one of the tricky things is for our demands on our time and the intensity of our work and the fires that we're putting out, the lack of time to reflect and fill in the blank is actually having an awareness of our impact on others. Blind spots happen all over the place, but if we are too busy doing all of the rest of the things, we're not likely to be thinking or attuning to or having awareness of our impact on other people that we live with, that we work with, that we're around. And so that's what we're talking about today, blind spots and the importance of slowing down, of considering our impact on others.
Okay. And part of that will be growing our listening skills today as well. You know, I was thinking, so often people are not sure of all the things that we do here at Living Wholehearted and also Courageous Girls, and the connection between leadership and parenting and all the things that we're doing, right? And this topic of blind spots is probably the most connected to all these places. You know, we could be a superstar at work and our high intensity, our go-getter, our performance, our productivity is praised and we are the spotlight and everybody's just in awe of us. And then we come home and we crash and our families get nothing from us. You know, our toddlers, I don't have toddlers anymore, but the toddler's like, mommy, I want to play. And you know, your seven-year-old is wanting to show you what they learned at work and you're just tapped and you just can't give them. And that would be a blind spot. That would be a massive blind spot to to not be aware of how we are even managing our time and our energy.
I remember to that note when the girls were tugging on your pant leg and you were looking at them. And I remember seeing it for the first time, it happening. Like I was observing
It was
Addie tugging on your leg saying, "Mommy," and you were looking directly at her, but you weren't there. You were thinking about other things. And it was when I brought that to your attention, not in a shaming way, I'm just like, "Hey, I know that you love your daughter and something was going on there. What was going on there?" That's where I was learning about your thinking brain.
Yeah. And if I wasn't open to feedback, I hope most of the time, I mean, 80%, I do have the 20% time where I'm like, I don't want it from you. But but if I'm open to the feedback, if I stay a whole healthy leader, right, who's saying, you know what, I do. I want the people in my inner circle like you, my spouse, and my business partner to give me some feedback. That was helpful because it was, though I don't want to be a non-emotional, non-present parent who's there with my body, but not there with my heart, mind, and soul.
Yeah.
That's the reality of stress on our lives and multitasking and being called in expectations. And again, good things, especially for younger leaders who have all these dreams and these visions and these exciting things they want to do in life. And it takes its toll on the things that we really love the most. So we're going to dive into a couple, maybe just kind of scenarios. That would be one in my own life.
And that, just to be clear, wasn't like your use. It was just that was something that happens. And, you know, I mean, over all the years now, our girls are in teen mode. You're much more aware of all
that. Well, and they'll say it this way. "Mom, are you listening?"
Right.
"Nope, you're not listening." Right. Okay. And then I say to them, this is how we have to, this is a practical tip. I say, "Girls, if you have something really important to say to me and you want to make sure I capture it, I want you to literally touch me and say, 'Mom, can I get your attention?' And then wait till I look at you and I say yes," because it's that easy moment where I'm literally saying, I'm nodding my head, I'm saying yes, and I've got five things going on in my head. And then they know the difference now.
So rather than assuming and rather than mind reading, requiring our kids or others to mind read, you actually had a conversation with them and said, "Here's what will get me to transition so that you are the focus. And here's what I need to help with that transition."
Yeah.
It's a relational thing that happened there. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm teaching them to do that. I have to remind them to do that pretty often, but they're more important. So I'm also saying, you're more important to me than sometimes the things I'm juggling in my head, but I'm also human and transitioning, and I've got a lot of things I'm going on that you probably don't even need to know about right now. Yeah. The other thing is, if I'm on a computer, I'm on the phone, I'm cooking dinner, I'm doing other things.
Yep.
It's also something I can say to them to say, "Let me finish this one thing, and then I'll be able to turn and pay attention." And if it's not urgent, that's fine to do. It's great to practice that with your 3-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 7-year-old. And now my 14 and 16 year old.
This translates to any environment, in the work environment, communicating to people, giving them a playbook or giving them a roadmap or something to aim for, provides freedom and clarity on both sides of the equation. And that helps reduce blind spots in us, in our leadership, is when we are attuning to people and connected to each other and giving each other sort of, "Here's what will work for me, what will work for you." The exchange there creates freedom.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's an explosion. It's a frustration. It's a temper tantrum. Yeah. even adult temper tantrums happen. Or we pretend to be present, as you were pointing out with me, but we're not really. I think that's probably the most common, where you see the calm duck on the top, you know, especially if you're going from meeting to meeting to meeting. Someone's not really present and they're nodding and they're checking off the meeting list. And then they're moving on, and then you have to have
their feet are busy under the water.
Yeah, they're calm on the top, but they're they're not. They're swimming like frantic on the bottom. There's some cues that we can pay attention to in our own bodies, so that we can be present, non-anxious leaders, both with our kids, and with the people that we work with. What are some of the cues for you when you know that you're not really being present, or you're ready to flip your lid and going to not be the best kind of leader?
Yeah. So I get that hangry thing, you know, and so I, in my body, if I'm feeling a sense of angst to want to get done with whatever's in front of me or whatever's being asked of me in terms of people or interruptions. And my margin is low, or my filter, I'm feeling like I would react sooner. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a cue for me that have I eaten? Have I gone to the bathroom? Have I, you know, just my body is, that's a cue for me. So mm-hmm. that's one of the things is learning to pay attention to my body responses to just a regular person coming and asking me a question or interrupting or a mm-hmm. phone call or an email. I try to learn to listen to my body a little bit more over the years. You'd be proud of me.
You are. You've come a long ways, Abe. You've come a long ways. So that's step one is for those of us is to cue in to our bodies. And a lot of us Westerners, Western part of the planet, as well as just high capacity leaders, we are floating heads. We just go around working with what we are thinking and cognitively engaging the world, and we are dismissing the rest of our bodies. We're actually, I call it the athlete mentality, no pain, no gain, mm-hmm. Push, 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 and mm-hmm. aren't not listening and going, am I injured? Do I need to rest? Am I really pushing it too hard? And you hear this often, right? Like, I'm busy, it's just a season. How many times is that the temptation for us to say that, but also for our leaders that we work with? Like, it's just a busy season. And you're like, you always say that. You've been saying that for 10 years.
Yeah, I remember reading Terry Newhoff's book, At Your Best. He says that. He says, yeah, if you're saying that and it's not changing, you're not in a season.
You're not in a season.
Like, it's just a facing reality.
Yeah, so learning to pay attention to the body rhythms of like when you are most awake and most productive and most present in the morning, the afternoon, the evenings, taking care of yourself by eating, going to the restroom, it allows you to be more present. Mm-hmm. And when people want to give you feedback, you're more likely to receive it than get defensive. So the other one for me is actually cueing into the people who are sitting in front of me. Mm-hmm. So instead of being lost in my head, which is my temptation with my wiring, to really cue in and look at their body language and to cue in and see what they're really needing. And if they're feeling heard and seen and known, or if this, we're both just kind of talking with no real engagement. So I'm paying attention to my own body, but I'm also paying attention and cueing into their body language and trying to slow down my own breathing. So I notice with my clients and with me, there's neurobiology that talks about your body will speed up its breathing, like you're sprinting or running from a bear when you are more stressed. But when you're breathing slowly in through your nose, out through your mouth, you're tricking your body to be like, you're calm, you're peaceful. You're on the beach of Hawaii right now. Mm-hmm. And people can feel that from us as leaders, whether we're leading our little children or a board meeting, mm-hmm. people feel the pace at which our body and our breath is. So I'm paying attention to my own breathing, and I'm paying attention to how someone sitting in front of me is also experiencing our time together.
And the term is regulation, right? I mean, to be able to regulate and in ourselves the things that we need to, so that we can have capacity to actually think about another person's perspective, notice these cues and their body language, mm-hmm. attune to them and what their needs might be from an availability space. If we're not regulating, if I'm not regulating well in the moment, I got nothing to really give. It's actually not authentic. And so working to regulate and then helping others also learn how to regulate is good for any system at home or work or in the community.
Okay, so I'm connecting a lot of dots. This is what I do. And you guys, some of you listeners love it. And some of you are like, I'm so confused. So hang with me. Jeff will bring us back to the linear world. But what you're saying is reminding me of a parenting thing. It's a tip. In terms of when we're not regulating well as parents or as kids. Okay. And we can even do this with our colleagues in a less parenting tone. And I'll translate in a minute. But with children, we often are like, if there's misbehaving or we're all flustered, our lids are flipped, we're not, we've had a hard day. Mm-hmm. You'll hear parents say, go take a time out or go to your room. What that teaches kids is that I have to perform for you or be just what you want for you to be around me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what we're trying to communicate as parents, but that's what it does communicate. And kids, especially your more relational children, feel punished when they're trying to, they don't know how to regulate yet.
Yeah.
So translate that over to changing it to, you know what? Mommy's feeling overwhelmed right now. You're feeling overwhelmed right now. Let's take a quick break. Why don't you go and give some suggestions for your kiddos, depending on their ages and their stage of life.
You're kind of talking to them as a younger age. So I wonder what that would be like if you're talking to your teens.
Well, same kind of thing. I would say, we're both overwhelmed. Hey, we're both feeling overwhelmed and a little bit testy with each other. Why don't we just take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk? So instead of a timeout, go to your room, you're grounded. Some of these things that we kind of are telling our child, until you can perform, I don't want to be around you. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, we both need time to calm our bodies. Mm-hmm. And you're practicing this from age 3 all the way till 73. And this idea of just being able to say, what do I need to calm down? So our girls have learned, because we've talked with them about ideas. So Adonaiya might go and literally just take time in her room. She might read. She might put some classical music on. She might play piano. Nevi might shoot some hoops, might do some coloring, might need to just go outside. I'm going to probably go get a task done or go to outside and use my 5 senses and smell. But it grounds us all. It calms us down so we can receive feedback from one another. And it's not a punishment. And it's more of a...
wisdom.
Yeah. So your 3-year-old, the same kind of thing. You're going to take a little break. Let's, you know, go stomp out your frustration with mommy. Go get it out. Stomp. You can go stomp it out. Mommy's going to stomp it out too because I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then you come back together and you get to process what you're trying to process. So that's what it looks like maybe at home.
I think at the workplace, it's not unsimilar. I think it's a little more rare, because in corporate settings or in non-corporate settings, but more organizational, nonprofit or what have you, you have people kind of just hash things out. We don't really practice these skills very well. And the loudest person or the person with the most power, it wins generally. And there's certain wiring types that play into that that are easier or better for some than others, and so on and so forth. If you're not a fighter necessarily, or a more direct communicator, and you're more of a thoughtful person, you're going to probably lose more than you will win in those dynamics. And that's not right. And that creates lots of unawareness as to how we're impacting one another and reinforcing systems of that. Taking a timeout, even there, you don't say, I'm going to take a timeout. And you never call the timeout for another person, whether at home with your kids, your spouse, if you're married, or with a colleague. You don't really call that. That doesn't generally work.
Not adult to adult.
But if you call the timeout and even take it upon yourself as a leader in your organizational setting, even though it's your colleague or direct report that really may need that more, you're helping them. You're not making it worse. And we always have a choice to make things better or worse in relational dynamics. And in this case, calling the timeout can be great wisdom to allow brains to calm down and come back. And so many cases in those scenarios, I help my clients, so you help yours as well in the executive coaching space, to be able to come back to the same thing that they were stuck on, but their brains are calmer and they're able to hear something that they couldn't hear before because one or both had kind of flooded brains where they were unable to do that. Yeah. So this reduces blind spots as well when you're regulating better. Yeah.
Let's unpack what flooded brains and flipping the lids. You know, when you're describing that scene in the workspace, I'm picturing like a meeting and the tension's building, but nobody's having conflict per se, but maybe you're seeing body language, people are getting antsy, they're moving a lot, or maybe somebody, you see their eyelids kind of getting heavy because they're starting to sleep, or you hear some grumbling tummies, like that's paying attention to the body language in the room, not just the words.
People doing other things while
they're
presenter's speaking.
So that's a cue as a leader to say, hey, it might be time for us to take a quick break. Let's take a 5-minute stretch break. Go move your body, get something to eat, use the restroom. We'll see you back in here. And it gives a chance to model that it's okay for us to not just press through and try to suffer and survive, but to actually try to get ourselves back to a space. Maybe you need 10 minutes. But this being more of a regular rhythm in between meetings, taking time to ground yourself. So flooded brains come from just the day. I mean, you can start at the most peaceful place in the morning. If you've got PTSD or trauma in your past, that doesn't happen very easily because the cortisol levels, the stress hormones, increase in the morning. So it's why people have a hard time sleeping well, or that runs interference, it kind of knocks your rhythms upside down. But for the most of us who don't deal with PTSD and ongoing interruptive trauma, you wake up and you're like, oh, it's a good day. But then all of a sudden that alarm clock, your coffee spills. I mean, there's just traffic. There's just all these things that are coming at you. You get a bill notice in the mail than you didn't expect would be four times bigger. You now have four meetings set on your calendar you didn't know you had. All these things that start to build up quickly start to create stress, external triggers. And your brain is mapping that out, and you have a downstairs and an upstairs a brain. And your downstairs brain is where it's basically kind of running the emotional temperature of the world around you. Is it safe? What do you smell? What do you see? What do you hear? And that part of your brain's been with you since you were a little kid, baby. And the upstairs brain is the parent brain, I call it. It's the cognitive part of the brain. And that's the part where it's kind of doing rhyme or reason, A plus B equals C. And we get that part of the brain all the way through our adulthood up to 26 to 28 years old. So these both parts of the brains are working together. A healthy brain has both of those working for you. And when you're grounded and you've taken some calming time to slow down, you're going to be better emotionally in tuned and cognitively engaged. But when stressors come at us and we start to feel the pressures of life, the blood leaves the frontal lobe, the top upstairs brain, goes down to the downstairs brain, and now we're in what we call that fight, flight, or freeze. And most of us, especially high capacity leaders, are not in tune enough with the way we're engaging the world. If we're in fight, flight, or freeze a lot of the time.
Yeah, almost all the time.
Yeah, I ask my leaders, like, where are you at? Zero being peaceful, 10 being intense, 5 to 10 is that fight, flight, or freeze. And most of the time, they're at a 7, 8, or 9.
Or they give that lower number thinking that that's like, that's not like the worst that they've ever had it. And they don't understand that it's, I mean, how, they don't understand that that their scale is off. Like, they think, I didn't get shot. So they report a lower number than what actually their bodies are actually trying to tell them.
Like a higher pain tolerance person, yeah. You know, they're like got a severe injury, but they're like, I'm at a 2, you know, because they haven't really paid attention or connected with their body.
And we're gleaning from Dr. Dan Siegel's work, and we're talking about downstairs, upstairs brain. We're talking about the flooding that's going on in there. And that really validates a lot of the earlier work that you were doing and others around this with our clinical space.
Yeah, Dr. Siegel has created the hand model. We do some teaching on it online, but you can Google that and be able to find that research. We'll put it in the show notes as well. But it's a great, he's got some great parenting pieces. We integrate this in Courageous Girls and in all the work we're doing with our leaders from executive coaching, with our trauma-informed counseling and our cohorts. We're helping leaders in the home and at work really start to regulate.
Yeah.
So that's the term you were, to be able to calm your brain and to lead your body in the direction you want it to go. This is probably one of the greatest blind spots that we have when we're going around maybe saying the right things, doing the right things, but we're disconnected from our hearts and what we're really feeling emotionally, from our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it takes its toll, unfortunately, especially with long-term leaders, the longer you're doing this kind of pace of life, eventually your body burns out.
Yeah, the burnout space.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right about the fact that it's one of the larger blind spots that high-capacity leaders have in the sense that many of them, my clients, many of them are in a space where they feel it. They're sensing that I'm getting to this space, but they don't know what to do about it. And the how is something that we've been trying to provide leaders for a long time. Then they might try all kinds of things. Like, maybe I just need to eat better or exercise better. And then it becomes a list of shoulds. And they're missing some sides to it that aren't intuitive, right? And this is where getting good clinical help can be helpful, or good coaching.
Yeah. And we do that trauma-informed coaching. So we're a hybrid. We're trying to integrate the both. That's and right. Coaching. So most of my coaching clients talk about traditional coaching. And they feel like by the end of their coaching sessions, they're supposed to go do more and be more and be more productive. And so that's part of the difference is we're really trying to slow leaders down, not to make you less productive. We actually think you're going to be have a greater impact because you'll be living in the lane you were designed to be. But you're going to have an impact in the direction you wanted it to have an impact. Just because you're aiming a bunch of places and hitting a bunch of marks, oftentimes leaders feel like it's the marks I wasn't intending or made to do when it comes to like my children, my marriage, the intentional way I wanted to lead with my team. And instead I'm being called over here to burn out fires all the time. Okay, we're getting a little off track because what I really wanted to talk about...
Are we? We're hitting blind spots all over the place.
I know. But here's...
Do you have a blind spot?
I do. I have a blind spot. I feel a little ADD this morning, to be honest, which is part of being higher on the spectrum. So 1 to 10, where's your body right now, Jeff?
1 to 10?
Yeah, 1's peaceful.
Yeah, I'm like at a 2 or 3. I feel like I could take a nap, but maybe it's because I need a nap.
Oh, yeah. And that would be listening to your body, right? And saying, I probably need a rest today instead of ignoring it. For me, I feel like I'm at like a 4 or 5. And I think this is ramping me up because I'm so passionate about this topic and several clients I was just talking to. In our book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, we tell the story of Jesus, one of the best leaders ever. And we are, sorry, I'm going to edit that part out. So we tell the story of Jesus and we talk about the reality of he's probably the most grounded leader out there. You see him waking up in the mornings, having his time with the Father. He knows his identity. He knows what he's on mission for. He doesn't get distracted. There's lots of people come after him and are like, there's people in this town, they need healed. And he's like, this isn't what we're here for. I'm doing my Father's business. So they move on. But one of my favorite moments is when he's with the bleeding woman and Jairus, who's a leader in the community. And the bleeding woman would have been an outcast and would have had no access to the community. She was, for lots of reasons, because of the Jewish law back then. So we tell this story as a moment in time in Jesus's leadership where he's in the middle of a crowd and he's busy. He's going to Jairus's house to heal.
Yeah, his daughter.
His daughter. It's urgent. Yeah, it's a fire. He's got to put out a fire, a massive fire. He's got a purpose there. And the bleeding woman comes and touches him. And in that moment, he pauses. He's interrupted. Mm-hmm. And he has a choice to make, right? And now granted, he's Jesus. We'll give him that.
Okay. Always give him that.
But in terms of the modeling of leadership, it reminds me of like, sometimes I think something's so urgent and it's actually my human perspective of trying to solve and fix things. And I'm forgetting that God's got this. Mm-hmm. And I need to be listening to the woman that's coming and touching my little kid, my three-year-old. I don't have a three-year-old. Let's keep reminding everyone of that. But just that idea of somebody needing my attention more at the moment. And I'm being drawn to this urgent matter. Well, Jesus pauses. He turns to her. And he recognizes her and restores her identity. And it's this powerful picture of just his grace and his love for a woman on the margins.
Seen, present.
Yeah.
Her voice matters. And he uses his voice and power and authority to make her seen and noticed by others that are all around. That's
my favorite part.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that piece of Jesus modeling this like grounded, non-anxious, knowing what he's here for and being interrupted and not having the frazzled reaction that his disciples had in the moment when they were like, you know, we don't have time for this. So I don't know. It's just this reaction idea.
And response, right? Yeah. And what we're working on individually and collectively and at Living Wholehearted, what we're promoting is learning how to respond better throughout our rhythms by regulating our challenges in our hearts, minds, and bodies as a leader that allows us to be available to others and to not, we can make it better, we can make it worse. So making it better is responding, being available, regulating, and attuning to others in that scenario. We're not responsible for all of their reactions. But if we're reacting and they're reacting, and that happens all the time, and then we minimize all of that and call it normal, whether it's at home, at work, or in the neighborhood.
Or just a busy season.
that's the trouble. Yeah. So did I close that up in a good way?
Yeah. And I think a bottom line is we all have blind spots. So when you say those leaders, or we talk about our clients.
We can talk about us.
We're talking about us too. Sure, I mean, this is a lifelong process. And I want to just say this last thing. You know, I always have one more thing to say, but my brain works. As you talk, I go, oh yeah. And we really want to get to the root, because just teaching you the how is going to be frustrating for you. You've got to understand the undercurrents, the root systems that have led you to some of these behaviors. Why, what's going on, and why you've dismissed your body. Mm-hmm. Healthy parenting and healthy systems teach us to value all of who we are: our mind, our body, our heart, our soul,
and our relationships.
And to care for those, not just to be performing monkeys. And we have a tendency for those of us. And so we're working hard to help leaders know your story, know your wiring, understand what healthy is. And we can do that in our homes and doing a prevention with our families and hopefully setting them up for greater success in their life, but also with those that we lead. And it starts with us personally. So if you're interested in joining us, you know, the minimum is sign up to subscribe to our podcast every week. We're coming alongside. We're bringing great guests. We've got some amazing people that are coming up. We've got Kurt Thompson, Max Lucado, Sissy Goff. We've got some incredible guests coming, but Jeff and I are also going to be doing more, sharing with you some of the things that we've been teaching in our cohorts and in our executive coaching and in our counseling practice. But if you'd like to join us, and you want to work with Jeff and I directly, or our executive coaches or counseling, go to livingwholehearted.com, where you'll learn more about org development and building healthier teams. You'll learn about our one-to-one executive coaching. We'll work in customized things with you. And then we have our leadership cohorts, where they're 1 year or 2 year based on what you're ready to do and how you're wanting to dive in. And as always, we have our trauma-informed counseling practice here in Oregon. So if you're in the Portland, Oregon area, or anywhere in Oregon, you're welcome to lean into our counselors as well. So go to livingwholehearted.com. We're here to serve you.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.